Kevin Woodley to discuss the matchup starting tonight, game one of the Stanley Cup final. Price, Vasilevsky. Well, Kev, both goalies have been excellent in the postseason. Let's break down, like, if you're Montreal, and, you know, you can't change your whole approach by any stretch, but is there any way, like, I know we broke it down a while back, that Vasilevsky, if there's a weakness, it's every now and then he seems to fall asleep on kind of like the most savable shots, point shots that aren't screened. So I don't know if you can start just throwing softballs at him, hoping he'll miss them. Is there a way you think the Habs can approach Vasilevsky and have success?
Well, there aren't a lot of weaknesses there, Jason, and you're right. Just because he lets the odd bad one go in, again, more than we'd expect for a goaltender of his caliber, near the bottom, you know, bottom 8 to 10% of the league in terms of those low percentage goal numbers. The reality is he's just really good everywhere else. And if you just start throwing a bunch of low percentage ones at him, you're not going to score. It's tough. Like, I'm looking through his numbers over the past couple of years, and like, there's nothing that jumps out as, you know, a hard and fast weakness that you can target in his game. I would say that rebounds are one area that we've seen, and, you know, not surprisingly in the playoffs, where he's slightly below expected. And when you're talking of goaltenders of this caliber, anything below expected, you know, is a relative weakness. And the one thing you have to be cognizant of if you're the Montreal Canadiens is where those rebounds are and how to generate them. He's pretty good at absorbing pucks off his body. Really good. There's a big difference in how Carey goes to the ice compared to Vasilevsky. Carey stays over top of pucks and sort of comes down over top of them and allows him to stay patient and high. How many pucks have just hit his shoulder in this postseason or he's just gotten a piece of because of how well he holds his edges and stays over top? When you watch Vasilevsky go to the ice, the legs are a lot wider out and he kind of imagine sort of almost like sitting down in a chair. Like, he tends to sort of sit back and the chest comes up a little more upright. And so if you're going to get rebounds off of him, he kind of, there's really soft arm seams there. Every once in a while, you'll get a squeaker, but for the most part, he'll absorb. And so if you're looking for rebounds, it's got to be off the pads. And if it's off the pads, Andre Vasilevsky is one of the first ones to sort of get, you know, not far behind Lundqvist, into this new generation of Bauer pads that are specifically designed to create more active, longer rebounds. And so this is absolutely a point that the Canadiens forwards need to take note of, and I'm sure it'll be in the pre-scout, because there's enough goalies like this now around the league. You just sort of need to be aware of who's wearing them and who isn't. And if you're parked, for example, Brendan Gallagher creating all the havoc that he loves to create at the edge of the crease, understand that's great if you're taking away eyes, but you're probably not going to get a lot of loose change, especially if you're trying actively to create rebounds with low shots off the pads. You need to be further out than that. It's not just in terms of that's where they end up, but it's more that they come off so quickly. It's like golf. Like, they have a COR, coefficient of, is it rested? Like, I can't remember the R, but just like golf clubs. On a driver, it's good to have a high COR. The ball goes further. Same with the Bauer pads, high COR. It comes off the face explosively, and so the closer you are as a forward trying to tuck in that rebound, the less time you have to react. So rebounds are, I don't want to say an issue, but relative to everything he does so well, it's one way to sort of get to him, and you need to make sure you're in the right spot. Second part of it is, even when it looks like he's down and out, we always talk about nothing along the ice, and Price has made a bunch of saves in these playoffs where guys have put rebounds along the ice and they've given him a chance to get a pad there. And with Vasilevsky, it's more. It's got to be top half. When he is, he can be seemingly caught on the other side of the crease in his butterfly with a backdoor open net, and his ability to, even when he's in extended prone positions, to get across in a butterfly slide, a lot of guys are just sticking a leg out. from extended positions, he will use that lead edge, that lead skate in the direction he is headed. He will actually manage to get a C cut from his knees off of the toe of that lead edge to turn himself into rotation as he makes a push across. So he's not coming across flat. He's actually building angle and staying balanced. And because of that, because it's not just an outstretched leg, because he's not falling forward, because he stays balanced, and he has incredible power from end range of movement. This is something we heard about from coaches in Ottawa who worked with him as a teenager. Incredible power from end range of movement. He will not only get there, but he'll actually build vertical coverage and have his glove on top of that pad. So you may think you have an empty net against Andre Vasilevskiy, but you can't just think get it 11 inches over the pad. You got to think top half, top corner all the time in those situations. Otherwise, you are giving him an opportunity to make a momentum-changing save.
Talking NHL Finals goaltenders with Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine today on TSN 1260. Woodley, the other side of the coin, the Carey Price, what I'm seeing, and I think I'm stealing this from you, is that he's where he needs to be to make saves before the shots are going on. Or is how does Tampa get to Carey Price?
Well, that's an interesting one because you're absolutely right. Like, and both of them will do that. Like, they're going to get to spots, but they do it differently. I talked about Vasilevskiy's power and his end range of movement. With Carey, it's more about efficiency and reads. And so, you know, you're not going to be able to beat the efficiency. Every once in a while you can have the type of cross seam pass with enough velocity and the skill those guys are throwing around with that, yeah, maybe he won't get there. But that's his intimidation factor, is usually you catch that puck, you look up, and you're already staring at his logo. And he does that with efficiency on his edges. He doesn't just get there, he gets there set and square. Builds, we had an article at ingoalmag.com where we had him on the ice a couple of years ago teaching the kids, and it was the same thing, sort of head, shoulder, hands, hips, like all the rotation that leads before he pushes gets him there on angle, set, and square. And so that can become intimidating. But the other part that separates Carey is where Vasilevskiy's all athleticism and power, and Carey's all about efficiency and reads. And so how do you fool a goaltender who has exceptional reads? You have to try and use options or deception. And obviously their power play has as many options as any in the league, and that forces him to be careful. Like, you can't commit all the way across it. It's much like Washington's power play at its peak when it had Oshie in the bumper and Backstrom passing off the right side wall and Ovi in his spot, Carlson up top. You have options. So the goaltender can't hedge towards Ovi, or in this case Steven Stamkos to his right, because that Oshie, and in this case Braden Point, bumper option is there. You have to respect it. And so having options, and if you can mix in deception, again, easier said than done. He reads the game so well. If you make it sort of, if you put it where he expects, you do what he expects and what he reads, he will eat you up with that efficiency. He'll be there before the pass, and he won't give you anything. We saw it in the Toronto series where every once in a while he'll get caught cheating. The Morgan Riley goal, you remember, where Morgan Riley ended up with half an open net on the glove side because Carey was already going to the pass in the middle that he read. So Tampa's elite skilled forwards have the ability to point Kucherov especially to create some of that deception, to show one thing and deliver another, and that's one way to sort of slow down his reads or make him stay honest on the puck longer, which will at least delay him getting to that cross ice pass ever so slightly. And of course the other thing with Carey is screens. It was a big problem in the regular season. It's been less of a problem in the playoffs. In the regular season I really did think it was about all those big bodies they brought in to play defense. A lot of the screen problems were created by his own defensemen. He is still a goaltender. They've sorted that out for the most part in these playoffs, but he is still a goaltender. Vasilevskiy will look over screens on his tippy toes. Carey, for the most part, wants to look around them from a low wide stance. And that's another area. Vegas targeted early but seemed to go away from it. You got to get him moving where he has to pick a lane, short side, far side, and then move the puck take the shot or make a pass when he's caught behind that body trying to move left and right. And again, all these things I say, real easy to say, tough to do against a Habs team that has been exceptional 5-on-5 all season long and really good on the penalty kill in the playoffs. But that's the one area where you can create these types of elements on purpose is when you have the power play. So I think how this series is going to be called is going to play a major role in terms of how it turns out.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. You know, Tampa's power play is elite. There's no question about it. When you have Kucherov and Stamkos, and both of them can fire one-timers from either side, it's really hard to defend. Vegas's power play, Kevin, was horrific. It wasn't very good all season long. And I give Montreal's penalty kill credit, but only to a point. Because Vegas's power play was so bad. Like, it was almost laughable at times. Like, they could barely string together three passes in a row. And that's where, like, I'm very curious to see how Montreal adapt. Because I almost think that Vegas's power play was so horrific that the penalty killers in Montreal might not be, like, they got to go from 0 to 100 against this power play of Tampa. And that's going to be a challenge. Well, and Carey Price is going to have to be incredible.
Yeah, and that could pretty much define the series in terms of how it's called and whether that big bad defense can get away with being punishing in front without taking penalties, and then how do the Habs fare? Because I'll rewind it even further, Jason. The Winnipeg series, they lost Scheifele. So they lost a massive part of their power play in Winnipeg after game one. And the Toronto series, as good as Toronto's power play was at the start of the year, they kind of hit the skids down the stretch and into the playoffs. And I didn't think they were exceptional with the man advantage either. So, you know, some of that probably is the Habs. So, you know, an element of how they defended it. And they seem to be a team that adjusts really well, makes changes on the fly. You saw they adjusted how they played the neutral zone overall, how they defended through the neutral zone against Vegas. And I thought Vegas was slow to respond to that. And it kind of tilted that series, you know, from a series where it was like about Carey Price early on to a series that was about the Habs controlling play. So, like a lot of these sort of last couple rounds for Montreal was sort of, you know, how much of this is the North and how much, can they dictate defensively to a team like Vegas? Well, they did. But I'm with you. I think it'll be much harder against the Tampa power play, and yet I'm fascinated to see which one comes out on top. I think if you're Habs, though, you just don't want to give them those opportunities with the man advantage, because that's the one thing about Price's numbers and about their numbers. Obviously, their record on the power play is historic. His numbers so far on the power play is historic. But those are things when you run that hot and you're talking about making history, with your penalty kill, that usually means there's a drop-off coming, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got nowhere to go. It's got nowhere to go but down. That's unfortunate. Now, joined by Kevin Woodley in InGoal Magazine, talking all things Stanley Cup that gets going tonight at 6 o'clock. Woodley, you touched on it a little bit, the North and all that, how no one has seen each other. Is there any kind of, you think, like a feeling out process for the shooters and the goalies as shooters that they haven't seen each other, some of them for, over a year? Or is there enough video and things and maybe some, experience prior to this pandemic with these goalies that they can have a book on each other?
Well, I think they've been around long enough, Strutty, that they've seen each other. It's not like Carey's a newbie and Vasilevsky, has had enough time in the league that they've seen each other. But they haven't seen this year, and so I think that could be a factor. And the one thing I'd be looking for if I was Montreal and detailing that pre-scout to my forwards is, whereas Carey has that ability because he arrives set and he arrives square, and that patience I talked about. It again, how many replays have we seen where, it just catches a piece of his shoulder. It seems to be labeled, but he manages to hold those edges and not drop prematurely, and sort of when he drops, tilt forward and close on the puck just enough to get a piece of it. Like, that's, he can lead you because he doesn't give up much through him, because he looks so positionally set and square and doesn't look like there's much there. I do believe that he has the ability to probably quickly in a series create a bunch of guys shooting wide or trying to be perfect and just missing. The message I would be trying to drive home on the other side is you don't have to be perfect against Vasilevsky. And again, this is not a criticism of him. Said for a couple of years now, I think he's the best goalie in the league. but there's give and take in everything. And some of the athleticism that allows him to make saves that nobody else makes, and some of the ways he plays things also leaves some holes. And so a shot off the hips, a shot just off the shoulder, by the ear is great on any goalie, but those are better than crossbar post seam in a lot of cases against Andrei Vasilevskiy. Those are the ones that tend to go through him or in on him rather than always feeling like you need to be perfect. So that would sort of be my message if I was, you know, writing that up on the chalkboard going to this game for the Habs. Like, yes, this goalie is exceptional, but don't feel like we have to be perfect here. Pucks will go through. And that hasn't necessarily, I mean, Carey's got some low percentage goals too. Game four against Winnipeg, there were two stinkers. Absolute stinkers, shouldn't go in. Five overall in the playoffs is right there with Andrei Vasilevskiy. But for the most part, he makes you beat him around the edges. And so that can lead to that, I got to be perfect with this shot mentality. And I don't think you need that against Vasilevskiy. And again, not a slight, but certainly a mindset I'd want my shooters to have against him.
Kev, who are you taking in the series?
I have done very well with the Montreal Canadiens to date. I've talked a few weeks in a row about the numbers at Clearside Analytics, about 5-on-5 high-danger chances against, and how good Montreal was this entire regular season and how well that has predicted playoff success. The problem is the team at the other end, 2 years ago they were 20th, and Elliot Friedman had this in his column today, but same thing. 2 years ago I think they were 19th or 20th. Knocked out in the first round. Last year they were first, won the cup. This year they were in the teens. But ever since the playoffs started, it's like they flipped a switch. It's like now this counts. All those details we had defensively that we did so well last year, let's get back to them. And so I don't feel as comfortable in this case. It's really hard to pick Montreal, but I'm going to go with my heart. As a journalist, we don't cheer for teams. We do cheer for good stories and good people. And I have had the fortune of being on the ice 5 years in a row with Carey, watching him work with kids at an Eli Wilson camp every summer up until the pandemic. And I got to see what he's like behind the scenes and on the ice and working with these kids. And it's his first chance at this cup. He has everything else on the resume. And there's a part of me that just, I can't bet against him and I can't predict against him. So I'm going to go with the Canadiens in this series. And it may be as much heart as it is math. I'm not sure I'm going to put my wallet like I have in the first three rounds on Montreal with the confidence I did, but we're going to say Montreal regardless.
Going with the Habs. All right, Kev, we'll see what happens. Game one tonight. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you next Monday.
If they let me down at this point, the worst I am is 3-1, so I'll take it.
There you go. Hey, I picked the Habs the last two series, but I'm not picking them this series.
I saw you did. You got them at 4.25. I got 4.3. It was a good place to go, and they were good against Winnipeg. I was there against Toronto, too, although that was more of a coin flip. So they've done pretty well by me. Hey, listen, if I end up going 3-1, that's .750. It's like my save percentage in beer league, guys. That's good enough for me.
Nice. I love it, Kev. Thanks for that, Kevin Woodley from In Gold Magazine.